There's a familiar sound you might be hearing this Christmas season. The Salvation Army Santa Claus standing next to the red donation kettle. It was a very polite way to solicit charitable donations. And the Salvation Army was long considered among the best charities around, in that most of the money collected went to the needy, and not the executives running the charity. The Army has come under some fire lately, mostly for its descent into woke bullshit, but that's for another show. That red bucket represented more than the spirit of holiday giving. It was a beacon of honest begging. There was no pretense or guile about it. Here's a guy in a Santa suit ringing a bell. There's the money bucket. Please give if you can. Thank you very much. By the way, I have a Salvation Army Christmas story for you later in the show. Here's a little mystery clip I'll be explaining later. A lot of charity solicitation has slid into a manipulative, sleazy, obtuse practice of guilting, head fakes, and outright theft. It's gotten worse than ever, worse than you might have imagined. Giving to charity should, in theory, be a win-win. You donate, the recipient's lives improve, and you feel better about you. But way too often it doesn't work out that way, and you wind up being a mark for a bogus charity run by con artists. They feel great, and you feel like a chooch. Sometimes it is a legit charity, in the eyes of government. But as we learned through the scamdemic, just because some organization isn't breaking any laws doesn't mean it's not a criminal enterprise. Or some well-camouflaged woke outfit you'd rather see in bankruptcy. So before you reach for your wallet or round up the tab at the chain store, there are some things you might want to consider. Not only about the charity itself, but the way they solicit, because if it doesn't piss you off, it should. Stay with me.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Larry, fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry!
Larry! Larry!
Come on, Larry! Larry!
The old saying goes, you can't cheat an honest man. That's bullshit. In fact, honest people are cheated far more than the dishonest. And here we stand at the gates of another
holiday season,
and we'll be strolling through a gauntlet of grifters, con artists, and other assorted detritus. And you won't have to visit the bad part of town to find them. They'll be at every mall, chain, and big box store in the country, with orders from the besuited douchebags at headquarters to fleece you for more than the price of goods you're buying. Surely you've noticed the high-pressure tactics charities are now using, especially since they've partnered, finger quotes, with corporate retailers. You get to the check stand, and you're barraged with requests for money. Do you want to round up your bill to the nearest dollar for the Foundation for Hangnail Research? But you're just a sole shopper trying to feed your family. Why doesn't the multi-billion dollar grocery chain put the roundup on their fucking tab? This shit has turned a corner of late. There's a cheap-ass store I sometimes visit. One of those places you go when you need something and really don't care about quality. Because everything there is pretty much crap you'll use once and throw away. The one here is called Ocean State Job Lot. It's getting frosty in the Northeast and I needed a pair of gloves. Incredibly, Ocean State had leather gloves for only $10. I fully expect them to disintegrate after two wearings, but maybe by then we'll finally get some global warming. At the check stand, the cashier asked if I was a club member. Negative. Then she smiled and asked if I'd like to become one. Negative again. Damn few clubs yield any discounts. All they do is give them access to spam your phone with their marketing. Then she asked if I wanted to round up the tab for some charity. I don't recall which one. United Way, UNICEF? Since words that begin with uni piss me off, I also declined that. She was not pleased. The warm smile turned to a scowl. And while she clearly said, "Have a nice day," in those words, her tone of voice said, "Fuck you, asshole." Fast forward a couple of weeks, and I'm driving 350 miles for Thanksgiving, and just about when I'm passing the store, I realize, ooh, I never packed the gloves. So I make a pit stop to grab another pair. Same woman at the check stand. She doesn't remember me. I get another big smile, and this time she says, "It's the holiday season," and hands me a plastic club card and tells me it's a gift. Well, I thank her, and then she asks for my phone number. I tell her I'm not a member. Do I want to become one? No, thank you. So there's some new bait and switch with a club membership. Look, stupid shopper man, I'm doing you a favor. Just give me your fucking phone number. But next is where it really got underhanded and sleazy. She asks me, "Will you round up your total to feed starving children?" Whoa. That's fresh. No mention of which charity might be distributing food to starving children, or where those children are located. What if they are white supremacist, insurrectionist children threatening our democracy? What if they're Russian? We're supposed to hate Russia, right? Or are we supposed to throttle back on the Rusky hate because dancing dipshit grifter Zelensky has tapped out our checkbook? What if those starving children are Hamas suicide bomber tots? Feeding them might be risky. When I have time, I'm going back to that store and eavesdrop to see how many people have the balls to say no to the bullshit starving children pitch. Betcha I'm one of the proud, the very few, and the hated. But that really is some low-rent shit. And it's a cinch the cashier didn't script that question herself. Probably was fed to her by some corner office puke back at corporate HQ. Maybe for this episode, I should substitute the old Nancy Reagan anti-drug slogan, "Just say no," for my customary "take no shit" slogan. A couple of episodes back, we explored how compliant people have become. And this reticence to call bullshit is rot of the same tree. But the real root is the dumbing down of America, and how could it not be after a generation or two of 3D curriculum, dolphins, dinosaurs, and diversity? When we were traveling for Thanksgiving, we stayed at a Hilton. There was a sign at the check-in desk that I wanted to soak in Ronsonol and set ablaze. This is what it said.
"Effective November 1, guest folios will include a $12 per night overnight parking fee."
Huh? When did a bill become a folio? And then the sign closed with this, clearly written by a moron for morons.
"Thank you for your understanding and kindness during this transition."
So travelers should be kind and understanding as Hilton transitions a bullshit $12 parking fee from your wallet to their revenue stream. And what do you get for that fee? Is the lot gated or patrolled by security? No. Valet parking? No. Bellhop to wrangle your luggage? No. Complimentary wash and vac? No. Squeegee your windshield? Nope. For that $12 fee, you get nothing. There were 223 rooms in that hotel. At full occupancy, that's $2,676 Hilton makes of pure profit each night for doing absolutely nothing. Zero overhead. Over the course of a year, That's $976,740. An extra $1 million in their pocket at just one mid-sized hotel. Hilton operates over 6,500 hotels around the world. Some bigger, a lot bigger than the one we stayed at, and some smaller. Let's be conservative and say those hotels average 150 rooms, and they're all getting $12 a night, pure profit, for a rip-off parking fee. That pencils out to $4.27 million a year.
Thank you for your understanding and kindness while we pick your pocket, valued guests.
Well, not our pocket. We told the desk clerk we Ubered in from the airport. Hilton's website boasts all the requisite lefty bullshit, including ESG, environmental, social, and governance, heaps of DEI, and all kinds of initiatives, all with a political virtue signaling bent. Plenty of climate action.
Reduce watts, water, and waste while paving the way to net zero.
Which is why it may be a good idea to turn on the television and all room lights until bedtime. Run up those operating expenses as much as possible during the transition of your stay. Quid pro quo, baby. Thank you for your kindness and understanding. But back to the relentless solicitations from corporations to which you are already paying money. It's even on the news. Here's a clip on the matter from NBC's Today Show.
Millions of Americans across the country choosing to donate a few cents at a time. A recent study shows a majority of consumers opt to give to charity by rounding up their bill. In fact, in 2020, a whopping $605 million was collected from 76 point-of-sale fundraisers. Walmart, CVS, and PetSmart, just a few retailers offering shoppers the choice to donate at the register.
For a lot of people, the question at the counter isn't just whether to donate, it's also how much of that donation goes to the charity, and how do you know it's legit?
Typical of limp-dick mainstream media, they approach the story from the wrong angle. There are already loads of watchdog outfits keeping tabs on shady charities. The point of the story should be, what makes retailers think they have a license to pester customers? For any reason. The check stand charity is not new. For decades, there were jars for cash donations at cash registers for many charities, Muscular Dystrophy, March of Dimes, and so on. And that was okay, because it was passive collection. The jar did not demand money from you, nor did the cashier. Now, it teeters on the edge of harassment, and in the case of my experience, it was manipulative and deceptive, trying to embarrass customers into giving. That's bullshit, and that has to stop. One's largesse is often a personal matter. The most respected donors should be those named anonymous, not the ones who give to get their name on a wing of the hospital or university. And speaking of universities, Harvard's endowment now exceeds $54 billion with a B. At this point, anyone who gives any amount of money to Harvard or any well-funded part of academia is only looking for a claim and acknowledgement. And that ain't charity. That's just a well-funded ego. Now about scam charities. Lots of them are, and unless you conduct some careful due diligence, you can easily get duped. Money, Inc. Online just published a list of sleazy charities. Here are a few from their top 10. Cancer Fund of America, America Breast Cancer Foundation, Children's Wish Foundation, Disabled Veterans National Fund, SPCA International. Wow. Those names would make anyone want to donate, right? But according to the story, those outfits are corrupt. Here's a partial list of good charities according to Money. Breast Cancer Research Foundation, Children's Health Fund, Wounded Warriors, Cancer Research Institute, American Humane. Well, who could tell those lists apart? The names are nearly identical. And his money ain't a trustworthy source. Who knows? Who's watching the watchdogs? The worst form of charity abuse is coercion in the workplace. Plenty of companies strong-arm employees into payroll deductions. I was subjected to that for many years. That shit should be illegal. It was always the United Way, which pioneered payroll deduction strong-arm tactics. The United Way, which has a long history of scandals from fraud to sexual harassment. They're in bed with the WEF and other lefty outfits. I always resented having to give them money. They suck. Money. From everyone. And that non-profit nomenclature is a fucking scam. They call themselves non-profits, yet they charge for everything, especially in healthcare. And the guys running nonprofits, mostly hospitals, manage to make it very profitable for themselves. The CEOs of the top 40 nonprofits do very, very well. Number one was the recently retired boss of Centara Health, who pocketed $33 million in 2021. Number 40 scraped by with compensation of $1.5 million. You can read all about them at a site named causeiq.com. It's fascinating and sickening. This Christmas, when they try to pressure you at work or embarrass you at some chain retail enterprise, do not hesitate to confidently and proudly say no. When we hear these boxcar salaries, guys that run so-called nonprofits, clear, it's tough to wrap your mind around it. $33 million a year is $634,000 a week. If that's a 40-hour week, that's $15,865 per hour. There's something really, really wrong with that. Now, if that's the earning power of an athlete or an entertainer, or a Wall Street shark, or some entrepreneur who invented a better mousetrap, well, that's okay. That's capitalism, baby. There's zero pretense about those professions. They are solely about money. But when it's a guy that runs a fucking hospital, and that hospital claims it's not for profit, and solicits gifts, on its website, and is partially funded by government, that's corrupt, that's wrong, that's fucked, and that's a symptom of a very, very sick society. About now, you're probably wondering about that mystery clip and the little Christmas story that goes with it. For my entire 4-year high school experience, I took a subway to school. When I'd trudge up those steps from that dank hole in the ground, there was always the same guy sitting on a folding chair at the subway entrance. He wore what was then the uniform of the Salvation Army, which looked a lot like a get-up from a marching band. He wore an enormous brass-buttoned overcoat that was about 3 sizes too big, and a military-style cap with the stiff, shiny peak, except his was frayed, cracked, and dull. In his lap was an open cigar box. I never saw more than a few coins in it. His age could have been anywhere from 30 to 60. He was there on sunny days, and he was there on sub-zero days, when the sleet was blowing sideways across all 6 lanes of Queens Boulevard. It was bleak. He repeated the same phrase as if on a tape loop. The volume, tone, and cadence never varied.
Help the Army, Salvation Army. Help the Army, Salvation Army.
Sometimes there'd be a curtain of rain sluicing off the peak of that cap. Sometimes it was crusted with snow. He wore fingerless gloves. On chilly days, those fingers were red. When Arctic winds screamed in from Jamaica Bay, his fingers were blue. Why he chose that spot in hope of donations was baffling. Maybe a few office workers used that subway, but overwhelmingly, it was high school kids walking up those stairs on their way to school. Very few had any money, certainly none for charity. Some of my classmates needed charity themselves. He was a permanent fixture, as ignored as a street lamp. He bore a striking resemblance to the portly half of the old comedy team, Abbott and Costello. He was his twin. This always fascinated me. One freezing gray morning in December, I felt really bad for the guy. Those bell-ringing Salvation Army Santas had a better deal. At least they got to hang out in front of fancy department stores, see pretty women, and people who could donate. I stopped and dug in my pocket and found some change and put it in his cigar box. He looked up at me and smiled. I just had to tell him, you know, you look a lot like Lou Costello. Without skipping a beat, he said,
"Hey!"
Usually, I approached that school with dread and a scowl, but thanks to him, I laughed my way to the door and smiled through the day. Instant karma. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Slide over to thatlarryshow.com for hundreds more episodes. You'll find plenty of Christmas shows in the December tabs going back 7 years. The mission of this show is to help you take no shit. Getting fleeced by bogus charities is a form of taking shit. So if our time together has helped you be more discerning and emboldened you to say no to manipulative corporations, complete the karmic circle and support this show. Go to thatlarryshow.com and click the Patreon or PayPal button. There's also a P.O. Box address if you prefer anonymity. My friends, generosity is a beautiful thing, especially when your treasure gets to the people you intend and isn't siphoned off by scumbag suits with limos and private planes. I'll see you next Wednesday, or thereabouts. And until that time, until you're certain where your money is going, just say no.